veterans on campus and getting ready to graduate from Bible College in 1972. And then he and Mary, God had called them to the mission field to serve in Brazil. He told me in Sunday school it took about 1 year back at that time to go out and raise your support and prepare for the ministry. And so they got their support raised and began to prepare to go to serve the Lord. And God has really blessed and used them in a mighty and powerful way down through the years. And so on Faith Promise Sunday today, it's a privilege to have Brother Bill with us. He's going to share a little bit of his heart for missions and what they're doing down in Brazil, and then preach the Word of God for us today. And so Mary could not be with us, but I'm sure glad, Bill, you're here, brother, and come right on. And it's a good friend in the ministry, and we love this man, their family, and their children are doing a great job in serving the Lord. Appreciate you being here.
I thank the Lord for your friendship, my brother. Thank you for your support since 1973. Do any of you remember the old round-robin mission conferences? Well, in 1973, we were with you in your church, and you begin supporting us, and you've never stopped. Thank the Lord. Thank you for your support. We encourage you in missions today, and not only in mission giving, but we are losing missionaries all over the world. Our churches are not sending as many missionaries as they once did. We need to pray and ask God to send forth more laborers into the mission field, both in Michigan and also in Texas and around the world. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Have you stepped in line? Have you got up and stepped in line to ask God, Lord, here I am. Look on me. Don't worry about your age. Edna May Ward went down from Cleveland, Ohio when she was 62 years old and spent 12 years. Claire Blossom from Vassar, Michigan, chiropractor, went down at 68 years and stayed until he was almost 94 years old. Still in good health, came back to get married again at 95. You can go if God sends you. Amen. Thank you for your support. I would like now to share with you some of the things from our mission endeavors in Brazil since we got there on January the 22nd, 1974. Is it going to, is this turned on? Does it have to be turned on? I do not see a light coming from it. I'm hoping that it's going to work. That is not mine. I recognize crosses, but they're, yes, sir. It's already on? Is there one of these three that turns it on? Okay, the one at the top is the one I'm pushing. Great. You see the little circle? That is the state of Pará. That star is separate from all the rest of them, Pastor. And that state represents the Lone Star State of Brazil. That's just because this guy's from Texas. We started off 45 years ago. Mary and I and John and Karen and Tanya going to the land of Brazil as missionaries. And Mary and I will be going back in March of 2019, God willing, And we're from the Pleasant View Baptist Church of Arlington, Texas. Brother Jimmy McNeil is our pastor, Miss Susan, and they're doing a great job. He lost his mother this last week. We work in the largest country of all South America, a great large place. And I've gone up in a Cessna many times, and just up above Baleen, looking west and south, this is what it looks like in the northern rainforest. But we work in the forest of the jungles of the cities there. And Baleen is a city 420-something years old, city of 3.1 million people. And wherever you go outside of Baleen or in Baleen, you go slowly because there's only one four-lane highway going in and coming out. But come down and visit us. We'd love to take you to great shopping centers and great places to eat. But if you like traditional type food, we can present you with that too. These are called turu, and it's a type of little animal that lives in wood in the swamps. And believe it or not, it's good. But we didn't go there for these things. We went there to share the gospel with the people of Brazil. Antonio and his wife Clarice's family, one of their daughters, Natalina, was the first person saved, and our third time to go to Vigia way back in 1974 in the month of May. And still today, they're serving the Lord. And not only that, but three of their sons are pastors, and we also receive from God two of their daughters as daughter-in-laws. And they are serving the Lord as missionaries with our sons today in Brazil. Their oldest son, José, is the pastor of the Calvary Baptist Church of Vigia, Pará. One of their sons is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church of Belém. It says Temple Baptist Biblical, but it means Bible Baptist Church. And I'll explain it if you ask me later. Their son, Juscelino, is the pastor of that church. We started also the First Baptist Church of Pau d'Arco. We started it back in 2003. God has blessed this church. Their pastor was ordained in 2008 after the first pastor died a week before he was ordained. But God blessed this family. God has blessed them. I love to go back and visit them, but I never preach or pray publicly because they are a totally independent Baptist church with their own authority under Christ. One of our pastors of the Calvary Baptist Church in a city called Santa Isabel, he was pastoring two churches, ordained several years back, but God called him to another state called Maranhão, where he is pastoring another Bible Baptist church, which has grown by leaps and bounds in the last 10 years. Pastor Josias is a pastor of the Independent Baptist Church of Benevides, a church that is now over 120 strong on Sunday morning. That's our low service. And Sunday night, 150, sometimes even more. All of our churches are involved in mission endeavors. There in Brazil, not just here from here, but also in Brazil, we have missionaries in the city of São Paulo, Brazil, where they work with the Jewish people. One of our missionaries does what we cannot do because we cannot go into the Indian tribes, but Indians can. And he was saved many years ago. His name is Raul Brazão, and he is Baniwa Indian. His wife is Corupaca, two different peoples. And they work on the lower and upper East Sana rivers, have built two churches in both of their aldeias or in their tribal centers. And God has blessed them with a Bible college also in a city called São Gabriel da Cachoeira, where they work with Indians from that area also. Brother Estiliano Souza, he was saved in our first church. He went down to São Paulo and pastored. Recently, he's back up in Pará and has started the Good Samaritan Baptist Church. in an area of 14 villages in a large circle of about 50 miles around. But they have started a church in the center, and God has blessed them, and hundreds of people are being saved. And one of our single lady missionaries from the church in Paldaku is working with them, has been for 2.5 years, building children's ministries and ladies' ministries there. Our missionary in the state of Acre, over close to Peru, Brother Francisco Damasceno, has started 2 churches over there and has also started a Bible college over, it's almost 25 or so hundred miles from us. We had a need to start a Bible college back about 35 years ago, and it's called the Independent Baptist Institute of the North. And God has really blessed in this Bible college. Started off with just about 15 students, actually one student for about a year and a half, and then the next year had 15, and it's grown ever since. God has blessed in people graduating every year, going out into the different cities of Brazil and some to other places to minister and to do a great job. We went to the modular system in 2017 because Kyron is in another state, John is returning to the States, and I'm here, so we went modular, which is summer school, for a week and a half to study a whole semester of Bible college. Our first graduate, about 32 years ago, Manuel Pereira, he is now one of our teachers in the Bible college. He was teaching in April of this year. One of our missionaries who works in the center of Brazil, in the state of Goiás, in the city of Goiânia, Pastor Robinson Marcelo is one of our teachers in the month of June. We started almost 30 years ago now a young people's statewide youth group, and God has blessed it. We started with 25 young people, and today we have over 175 from the churches in our state, and many come from the state of Maranhão every second Saturday, where they are trained in God's Word. They are trained to go out and work with their churches. They're encouraged in missions also, and God is blessed. I thank the Lord for them, and this work has been growing every year. We started a youth camp ministry in 1975 on borrowed property, but in 1985, we showed it in your church in 1986. God gave us a piece of property, 37 acres in the rainforest, just 3 miles from where our house is, and God has blessed. It was all paid for in 5 years. Every bit of it's paid for. Dormitories and tabernacles like that one right there, they are out there during the month of July. Families in the month of February, and during the year our churches use it for youth, for children, for adolescents, and God has really blessed this. 22 years ago, Mary started with 2 Brazilian Bible Institute graduates, started a Bible club ministry, which we call Aindeki. I'll explain that to you if you'll ask me after the services. But in the very first church it was started in 2 semesters, in 1 year, 85 adolescents and children were saved. And many of those are in other churches today. Some of them are even in the ministry today. We plan to go back to Brazil in the end of March, Lord willing, if He'll allow us to, because Mary's having some surgeries and things. But we want to go back, and one need we have is to be able to raise $2,800 to go back and pay our passages on not a TAM, but an Azul or Blue Airlines. One of the jobs we'll be doing before we're doing anything else, and while we're getting settled, getting started again, we'll finish our Bible Institute buildings, which we build ourselves, and they're really almost all built, but we need some inside work, which is going to cost about $20,000. A lot more it would cost here, but it's going to cost us that much. Please pray that God will supply this need. We'll need to buy us a vehicle when we get back. We're hoping to get a Chevrolet Spin, and it's going to cost us about $23,000 to get it, Please pray. Please pray that God will supply this need for us too. Mary wants a scooter when we get back so that she can be mobile when we go out in different places. So please pray that God will give us to us, and He's already given us the money for it. So God has already supplied this need. One need we need this year to take back to Brazil also will be a video projector, and we're asking God to give it to us. Some of our churches do not have the facilities that you have in your church here. Thank you for what you have. And please pray that God will supply this need for us. But you know, all these needs and things are not just to have. They're so that we can be involved in church planting. Like God has used us all through these years, and God is blessed, we want to continue using Brazilian Bible graduates and those that God has called to go with them. We've already done that in two churches already, and God is blessed. We don't know how much time we'll have, but please pray for Brazil. May God bless you. Would you open your Bibles this morning, please, to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 8. I want to preach a message to you this morning that I've entitled, How God Wants to Reach the World. How God Wants to Reach the World. In the first 8 verses of this chapter, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse number 1, many of you have heard messages on this text. I'm asking you this morning to not think about how you want or how we want to reach the world, but how God wants us to reach the world. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power, what they had, I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, what they did not have, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this we did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God, insomuch that we desired Titus that as he had begun, so he would finish also in you the same grace also. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. Ask you some questions this morning. Does God care how we reach the world? Think about it. Does God care how we reach the world and how we do His work? Okay. Does it matter to God in which way we do His work? Does it matter to God if we do it His way or our way? And third question, will God be just as satisfied if we go about His work in our own way? Three questions. And the answer is yes. God does care how we do His work. He cares very much. This is how much He cares. Yes, it matters to God in what way we do His work. It matters to Him. And third, no, He will not be just as satisfied if we go about His work in missions in reaching the world our own way. Now understand this. God, He provided a plan of redemption. He provided it. He didn't do it after Adam sinned. It didn't take God by surprise. He did it way back in eternity past. He invested the blood of His Son in eternity past. If we can understand that, and I know we can because you're founded in God's Word. Okay? When God planned it, it could not go wrong for God. What God has said, what God has thought, it cannot be changed. What I'm saying is, God has told us that there is a plan of redemption, and He wants us to believe what He has planned and what He has told us about. Listen, when we believe God's Word and we trust in Christ, it cannot go wrong for us. Because anyone who will trust God's Word and believe the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, His death and burial and resurrection, they can and will be saved when they believe it in their hearts. Amen about that? Listen, number two, God not only provided a plan of redemption, but he also provided a plan for reaching the world with His redemption plan. You understand that? He provided a redemption plan, but a way to reach the world, a plan to reach the world with His redemption plan. Listen, there is no other plan that'll work for salvation. There is no other name named among men, named under heaven, whereby we must be saved. Paul said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of salvation to everyone who believeth, to the Jews first and to the Greeks." You know you were Greeks? Listen. I love to go and revisit the churches that God has given us. It's a joy to my heart to go and see some of those that I have never met, but they have been reached by the people of the churches when we started those churches. And I love to then go in their homes and visit them or go to their jobs and encourage them. I preached in one of our churches, the church in Vigia, Calvary Baptist, and I preached on sending the gospel, taking the gospel, providing the gospel, because without the gospel, people cannot be saved. Do you believe that? The next day I was on his job. He was working in the manioc field. He had a big long knife they call a tesado in Portuguese. He was out hoçando, grabbing a stick, moving things about, and hoçando. I picked up one and I started working with him, and all of a sudden he said, "Pastor, you preached yesterday that if people never hear the gospel, they cannot be saved." And I sort of said matter-of-factly, "Yes, sir, that's right." I didn't know what was going on in his heart. He said, "Yes, sir, I believe it. But all these years I've been saved. I never thought about it until this morning when I came out on the job. I was remembering what you said, and then I remembered." I said, "What do you remember?" He said, "My mother and daddy died 2 years before you came. They never heard the gospel. I just realized this morning that my mother and daddy are in hell." And folks, there are a lot of mothers and daddies that are going to be in hell that are in hell today. But we can change that if we will go and tell the gospel. You can do that by providing a way for missionaries to go. And you can do that by telling people right here in Michigan, right here in Canton, listen, God has provided a plan for reaching the world with the redemption plan. That is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. No other message. We have no other message to preach, whether in Portuguese or whether in English. We still preach the same message in Brazil. Also, God provided a biblical plan for resourcing the task of reaching the world with the redemption plan. There's a way that God provided for resourcing so that we always have enough sufficiency to do everything that God wants us to do in every local church that belongs to Him. Listen to me. There are some churches that don't belong to Jesus because some churches don't preach the truth. Listen to me this morning. God wants to reach the world. He wants to do it His way. And He will do it His way if we'll allow Him. What is that resource plan? What is it? Well, Paul penned the words that the Holy Spirit gave him. Listen to it, right out of the King James. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. If we do anything in our lives, and we plan them and do them, accomplish them, but it's not of faith, especially when it has to do with God's work, and everything we do is God's work. Raising our families is God's work. When we do a job to provide for our families, that's God's work. And everything we do and have, God gives us so that we can be involved, individuals in all of our churches, to be involved in God's work. And God's work is reaching the world. His way is reaching the world. He said also that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And that resource plan is faith. Okay? Faith, promise, missions. Listen, God wills a mission program that grows faith. It's not for us to figure out how God wants to do the job. He's already told us how to do the job. He doesn't just give us impressions that are outside of God's Word. He wants for us to listen to God's Word. He's given us the way to do it. And listen, it doesn't depend upon how much we have. Those Macedonian Christians, they had some things. And the Bible said they gave it. They were very poor. The Bible says they were in abject, in desponding poverty. They were very poor, and yet they gave what they have. But not only what they had, they gave what they did not have beyond their power. That's faith. That's faith in God. And you know, it's not about holding what you have until maybe you make a promise to God and you say, I want to give this amount. It's not that you're supposed to hold up and not give it until God gives it to you. That's not faith also. He wants for us to pray to Him, talk to Him, have communication with Him, and then ask Him what He wants us to do and what He wants us to give. And then we give it, and that's by faith, because He never fails to take care of His own. He never fails. He always resources us. He resources a local church through faith. And if He were to call 15 missionaries from First Baptist Church of Canton, He would make it possible for this church to send 15 new missionaries from this church. Do you believe that? Because what God tells us to do and what God has a local church do, He resources that church. That means God will bless. And God, He wants us to ask Him. He wants us to be obedient to give. And that will cause faith to grow. And God wills a mission program that grows faith and that is purposed in our heart. When we purpose something in our heart, that's because we're going to give cheerfully. We're not going to give what we have to give today, what I have to give next week, what I have to give at the end of the month. He wants us to give something that we purpose, that we want to. It's a joy to do it. And God, He loves people who will purpose in their heart and that will give in that manner, give in a way that they're happy about it. Listen, when we do that, we encourage our pastors. You will encourage your pastor. You will encourage missionaries. You will encourage them. And you will even feel good about maybe sending them something and telling them what you're doing, like a letter or an email. Listen, God, He wants you, He wants us to be involved in encouraging each other, admonishing each other. Why? We have an enemy out there that's trying to stop us, discourage us. He's trying to make it so that we do not follow through in what we have purposed in our heart and what God has told us in His Word to do. So we have to commit ourselves to God and make a decision every day that we walk with God, because how we walk with God today will influence tomorrow. And we can ask God to use us each day. And then comes the day when we will be giving what God asks us and tells us we can give by faith. Listen, we do that regardless of circumstances. You folks around here have been through a lot of discouraging circumstances in jobs and in finances, and yet you are still giving, and your giving is growing. Is that not right? God has blessed. Listen, God wants to use us. He wants us to be interested in loving this, loving what He has told us to do. Missions here and around the world is what God wants us to do, and He wants us to do it His way. When I graduated from Bible college, I graduated with a young man by the name of Ephraim Zere. You might remember that young man. His first year in Bible college, all he talked about was going back to Ethiopia and reaching his people. The second year in Bible college, he got involved in a lot of questions about theology and things. Didn't talk so much about going back to Ethiopia. The third year in Bible college, listen, it just went on and on. He became a member of the Zion Baptist Church, Brother Briscoe's church, graduated with us in 72. But he never went back to Ethiopia. He lost his interest. He lost his heart. His first love, it went sour. That can happen to any of us. We need to ask God to use us. And that's why I said a while ago, every time that there's something to do, pray that God will do it and step in line. Would you bow your heads this morning? Father in heaven, I pray that You will touch hearts this morning. I know, Lord, that You're working in Your people's hearts, because that is the work of Your Holy Spirit. I ask, dear Lord, that You will speak to us about this question of doing Your work Your way. And Lord, we need for there to be more missionaries sent. We need more workers on the fields. And dear Lord, we need right here in Michigan and around this country a revival. Oh Lord, please help us and use us, that these things may be accomplished according to Your perfect will. In Jesus' name we pray. Would you please stand this morning? I know that God is working in hearts in every service. I know that God wants has things that He wants you and I to do. It's up to us when He speaks to us to not hold back, but just go and make it public before your pastor, before your church, and then start doing what God is asking you to do. There may be different questions that God is speaking to you about. Pastor, would you come this morning? Ask God and allow God to work in your heart this morning. Pastor.
As Brother Ron leads us in invitation, if God the Holy Spirit has responded to your heart, touched your heart, and we'd be glad to pray with you here at the front. As Brother Bill said, the same gospel that works in Brazil is the same gospel that works here, that works in Haiti, that works around the world. And if you're here today and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, we would love to share that gospel with you and open your heart to the Lord Jesus. Have you lost your first love for Christians that are saved? And you know, they did that over in Revelation on the churches of Asia Minor. And there's a church that can lose. You can lose your first love. Don't lose it. Or if you've lost it, ask God for it back. That first love of putting Him first. Brother Ron.
Change my heart, oh God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, oh God.
Words to that song that Brother Ron's singing and sharing with us. And think about this today. Change my heart, oh God. You know, it's a tough thing. The Bible talks about the hardening of the heart. Our hearts can become hard. Don't let that happen. If you think that's happening or even has a remote chance of happening, my friend, just surrender it to the Lord. Ask God to have His hand upon your heart and upon your life, and to keep your eyes focused on Him and to change your heart for Him. And don't lose that love that you have for the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't lose that first love. Don't ever let your salvation become old. Amen. And just remember the day you got saved. I got saved 50 years ago. And I'll tell you what, it just seems like yesterday. Don't ever get over it. May your salvation be fresh and real and just as excited today as it was however many years ago you came to know the Lord Jesus. Brother Ron, would you lead us another verse of that? Just change my heart, oh God.
Change my heart, oh God.
Today, would you just change your heart? Say, Lord, I give it all to you today.
Make it ever
love the message
true. Change my heart, oh God. May I be like you. You are the potter.
People said, amen. Thank you. You may be seated.